The name of the sermon today is Grand Slam. Grand Slam. I find this an exciting and intriguing term. I went online to Wikipedia and read the following explanation for the term. In the sport of baseball, a grand slam is a home run hit with all three bases occupied by base runners, or what we say, bases loaded. According to Dickinson's Baseball Dictionary, the term originated in the card game of contract bridge, in which a grand slam involves taking all of the possible tricks. The word slam by itself usually is connected with a loud sound, particularly of a door being closed with excess force, thus slamming the door on one's opponent, end quote. The term grand slam has been extended to other sports such as golf or tennis. For sweeping a sport's major tournaments, it is my belief that the term can also be extended into the spiritual realm of the salvation process. So just what is a spiritual grand slam? How does it work? Why would a first fruit desire to hit a spiritual grand slam? What does this have to do with my salvation process? Today we will answer these questions and more, as I encourage all of us to hit and strive for a spiritual grand slam. In baseball, grand slams are a rarity. In 2005 major league season, grand slams accounted for 132 of the 5,017 home runs hit. This is just 2.6% of the total. Do they have to be that rare in the salvation process? I think not. Turn to Philippians 3:14. Philippians 3 and verse 14. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In baseball, we would have to call the grand slam a mark of perfection and among the highest of goals. Getting to home plate and hitting a grand slam are probably the two highest desires and goals in the game. Notice what the commentary says for Philippians 3:14. Philippians 3:14 that I just read to you. And for the phrase, I press towards the mark, as he who was running a race did. The mark means properly the object set up at a distance at which one looks or aims, and hence the goal or post which was set up at the end of the race course and which had to be reached in order that the prize might be won. Here it means that which is at the end of the Christian race, the kingdom. That from Barnes Notes. We are in a race and pressing towards the mark of perfection of salvation and the kingdom of God. To hit the ultimate spiritual grand slam is a lifelong process. The ultimate grand slam is hitting a ball right into the kingdom. However, all along the way, you will have many grand slams, home runs, triples, doubles, and single base hits. We do this virtually every day in the salvation process. And the only way to hit a spiritual grand slam or even a single base hit is to have the very power of God. The very power of God. Imagine Christ going to bat in a major league game. Do you believe that he could hit a home run or even a grand slam his first time at bat? Well, notice this from the record books, again from Wikipedia. Four different players hit a grand slam on their very first major league at bat. Three of these players hit their grand slam on the first pitch. In our hitting of home runs and those occasional grand slams, it is actually Christ in us holding on to the bat and hitting those base hits to those grand slams according to his purpose and plan. In any case and in every spiritual situation, we are to be striving for the grand slam. Every at bat is your opportunity to strive for the mark, as Paul says. This is one reason we do assiduity praying and asking God to be with us in every situation and every action we take during the day. So we're basically asking God to be with us every time we go to bat. Luke 16:16. In any case and in every spiritual situation, we are to be striving for the grand slam. Every at bat is an opportunity for you to strive for the mark, as Paul says in Luke 16:16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. From the Strong's Concordance, the word presseth here means to reflexively force an outcome, or to crowd yourself into the kingdom by the power of God. According to Robertson's word pictures, presseth means entereth violently into it. It goes on to say that the corresponding saying occurs in Matthew 11 and verse 12. So let's turn over to there. Matthew 11 and verse 12. Just back a few pages for you if you were at Luke 16:16. Matthew 11 and verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Notice what the Adam Clark commentary has on the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. The tax gatherers and heathens, whom the scribes and Pharisees think have no right to the kingdom of the Messiah, filled with holy zeal and earnestness, seize at once on the proffered mercy of the gospel, and so take the kingdom as by force from those learned doctors who claim for themselves the chiefest places in the kingdom. That's what the Pharisees were doing. Christ himself said the tax gatherers and the harlots go before you to the kingdom of God. Do you not suffer violence in your striving for the kingdom? Turn over to Acts 14 and verse 22. Acts 14 and verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Did you catch those two little and very binding words in the scripture? The words "we must." What does this mean? Well, let's look at the commentary for "and that we must." That is, that it is fit and proper that we should, not that it is fixed by any fatal necessity, but that we are not to expect that it will be otherwise. We are to calculate on it when we become Christians. Why is it proper or fit? The apostle did not state, but we may remark that it is proper. Number one, because such is the opposition of the world to pure religion that it cannot be avoided. Of this they had striking demonstrations in Lystra and Iconium. Two, it is necessary to reclaim us from wandering, to keep us in the path of duty. Psalm 119:67 and Psalm 119:71. Let's read those. Psalm 119, the largest book in Psalms 119 and verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. And in the same Psalm 119, go to verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And God does that a lot. He will bring different kinds of afflictions upon you that you might learn something from the Word of God. That's why every time we get into trouble, we go to the Word of God. Number three, it is necessary to wean us from the world, to keep before our minds the great truth that we have here, no continuing city and no abiding place. Trial here means us pant for the world of rest. The opposition of sinners makes us desire that the world where the wicked shall cease from troubling, and where there shall be eternal friendship and peace. And number four, and this is all from Barnes Notes, when we are persecuted and afflicted, we may remember that it has been the lot of Christians from the beginning. We tread a path that has been watered by the tears of the saints and rendered sacred by the shedding of the best blood on earth. The Savior trod that path, and it is enough that the disciple be as his master and servant as his Lord. And then it references Matthew 10, beginning in verse 24, which we're going to go to now. So Matthew 10, and verse 24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of his house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Let us get back to the subject of the Grand Slam in baseball. Did you know that Lou Gehrig and Alex Rodriguez hold the record for the most lifetime Grand Slams? Each has 23. Babe Ruth had 16. Looking at the lifetime stats for Lou Gehrig, you might be amazed to know that he went to the plate 8,001 times. How many times have you been at bat spiritually? Probably and clearly a lot more. His grand slams represent only 0.2% of those 8,001 times at bat. Not very many times. He did hit 493 home runs, though, 6%. He got to first a total of 2,721 times. That's 34%. His double is getting to second base after you swing the bat and you hit the ball and you get a double, you go to second base. He did that 534. That's almost 7%. While his triples are going all the way to third base, total 163, or 2% of all those 8,001 times he was at bat. Question for you: in our spiritual quest for a grand slam, will there be many failures along the way? Absolutely. I failed to give you one more important batting statistic of Lou Gehrig. Of the 8,001 times at bat, he struck out a total of 4,090 times. He had to put the bat away and return to the bench 51% of those times at bat. Have you ever experienced momentary failures in the salvation process? I know I have. I know I'm going through one right now. Before services, I played the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, where that long oar boat, the Edmund Fitzgerald, broke up in the sea. My question for you is, have you ever had an Edmund Fitzgerald? I'm sort of going through one right now. Let's look at Job 14 in verse 1. Job 14 in verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Proverbs 24 and verse 16. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. Now, turn back to the Old Testament and Psalm 38. Psalm 38. I've received a lot of emails that sound like this psalm, Psalm 38. And I could be writing this right now with the back pain that I'm going through. Psalm 38, beginning in verse 4. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head, and as a heavy burden they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and they are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly, I do mourn all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. That's definitely what I'm going through. No soundness in the flesh. I am feeble, verse 8. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. When I get jabbed from this, whatever I'm going through, there's only one thing I can do, and it's right there in verse 8. I roar. When you go from 0 to 10 in your pain, that's about all you can do. I was talking to another person that's going through a trial like me. They cry. I say, I yell very loudly. Verse 9, Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. Usually when I'm yelling, O God. Verse 10, my heart panteth, my strength faileth me, as for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek me hurt, speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. Verse 13, but I, as a deaf man, heareth not, and I was a dumb man and openeth not his mouth. Thus I was a man that heareth not, in whose mouth are no reproofs. What does God say about momentary failures? What does God say about momentary failures? Psalm 145. The thing about the malady that I'm going through is I don't know what body movement that I will make that will send me into from 0 to 10 in pain. When I say, if you hear me say I had a bad day, there were a lot of those instances. And if you hear me say I had a better day, there were less of those. Psalm 145, verse 14, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raises up all those that be bowed down. This is what I'm looking forward to, counting on. Psalm 37, beginning in verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And Joshua 1:9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. When others momentarily fail, what can you do? In answering this question, I want to go back to baseball. How many of you know what an RBI is in baseball? An RBI means runs batted in. Think about this for a moment. And see one of the great reasons for the brethren and why we meet in congregations, our congregation meeting through emails and through this meeting room and the telephone. Think about this for a moment and see why one of the greatest reasons for the brethren, why we meet in congregations and stay together the way we are staying together. Say you are on a baseball team and hit a double, meaning that you hit the ball and was able to run to second base. Now you're stuck. You're stuck on second base. You need help. In the case of baseball, you need the next batter to do well so you can advance to home plate. If that batter hits a single base hit or better, a double or a triple, you get to advance to home plate, and that batter gets credit, or at least partial credit, for getting you home. Does God talk about spiritual RBIs? Well, let's see. Ecclesiastes 4. Ecclesiastes 4. And beginning in verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. This scripture is not saying that one cannot accomplish great things without human help or a helper in the church. This is specifically a comparison here. If you were in trouble, which would you prefer? To be alone or to have one or more come to your aid? The answer is easy. And that's why I get so many wonderful emails and good wishes and prayers and rebukings of Satan that you guys are all doing on my behalf. Proverbs 27 and verse 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So there you hit a ball and you were able to go to second base. That guy that now is stepping up to bat, he's the iron man that you look forward to. He's going to bring you home. Going back to baseball and Lou Gehrig for a moment, in his total time in the major leagues, he racked up 1,888. He got to home plate 1,888 times. Now notice what else he did. He had 1,995 RBIs. He helped almost 2,000 other players get home. Getting to home plate in baseball is among the player's highest goals and calling. What promises from God do we have regarding momentary failure? I could give you Psalm 145:14 again, only this time showing the promise that God will pick you up when you fail. But let us go on to Psalm 94. Psalm 94 and verse 18. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. Psalm 119 and verse 117. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. Wow, that's a baseball term. And I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. And as any baseball player will tell you, you will have success if you play according to the rules. Luke 22, beginning in verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. James 4:10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And let me tell you, when you have a malady, especially one like I am having, to where your every waking moment and every action you take is, you're being reminded that you can be hurt at any moment, you're counting on the Lord to, you get humble is what happens, and you're now open to God lifting you up. Philippians 4, beginning in verse 11. Philippians 4, beginning in verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, wherewith to be content. I know how, both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now Psalm 146 and verse 8. I'll give you time to turn back there from the New Testament. Psalm 146. And verse 8. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. Here are some quotes on overcoming failure. Thomas Edison said, "Many of life's failures are men who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up." Doesn't have to say just men. He could have said men and women, because it applies to both. Most people achieve their greatest success one step beyond what looked like their greatest failure. Character consists of what you do on the third and fourth tries. Dale Carnegie said, "Develop success from failures. Discouragement and failure are two of the surest stepping stones to success." Let me read that again. Discouragement and failure are two of the surest stepping stones to success. Don't be afraid to fail. Don't waste energy trying to cover up failure. Learn from your failures and go on to the next challenge. It's okay to fail. If you're not failing, you're not growing. That's why the Bible talks a lot about failures that we're going to experience from time to time. The king of Grand Slams, Lou Gehrig, was called the Iron Horse. Didn't I just say something about iron from the Word of God? The Iron Horse, because he never quit. He grabbed onto each at-bat as a wonderful opportunity. He played in 2,130 consecutive games. He did not want to miss anything. To the first fruit, each day is a game day. If you live to be 70 years old, you have had 25,550 game days consecutively. Question: can God do miracles in our attaining spiritual success? Ask baseball player Fernando Tatis, who you saw on film before services, and I give you the links to all these things in the printed and posted copy of this sermon. And there's a couple of the links that need to be fixed, so I'll wait a little bit and I will get this corrected copy up and post that so you can have those links. To the first fruit, each day is a game day. Can God do miracles in your attaining spiritual success? Ask the baseball player Fernando Tatis, who on 23 April 1999 hit two grand slams in the same inning. Romans 5 and verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us." Note, the miracle grand slam is in verse 3. We glory in tribulations. Not only do we hope for a grand slam, verse 2, but we hit the grand slam in our tribulations. Which is the greater feat, Fernando Tatis hitting two grand slams in one inning, or you invoking glory in tribulation? Which is the greater miracle? When I talk here of hitting a grand slam, a home run, or even a base hit, I am talking about spiritual success. What does God have to say about our spiritual success? Turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, beginning in verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." In that verse 3 that I just read to you is Lou Gehrig, because I've told you what he did, how many times he was at bat, how many RBIs he had. What do you think he was doing before and after the game? He was being disciplined. He was disciplining himself by exercising, practice. And what does verse 3 say? Trust in the Lord and do good. That's the Lou Gehrig part. Do good. Do your exercise. Understand what's going on in your life. Understand the failures and work through them. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust in him also, and he shall bring it to pass. So I know the promises in there about him taking away my back pain. So if I'm going to have back pain today, I know that the relief is coming soon. 1 Kings 2, way back to the beginning of the Bible. 1 Kings 2 and verse 3. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and wheresoever thou turnest thyself. Again, that's a Lou Gehrig description, isn't it? I said in Psalm 37 in the third verse, and do good, that's Lou Gehrig, because he was doing good. He was doing his practice. He was putting in his diligence and fervency and zeal into the game, into the practice, into the conditioning, and into the meditation on the game. And then we see in 1 Kings 2:3, and keep the charge of the Lord like thy God to walk in thy ways, to keep statutes, commandments, judgments, testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper. He knew, Lou Gehrig and all those great baseball players knew, that if they kept to the rules of the game and the moral obligations they had to be a player on a major league team, that they would prosper at bat and whatever else they did in the game, fielding and catching balls and throwing people out on the bases of the opposing team. John 16 verse 33, and these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Joshua 1 and verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. So he's laying it out. You want good success? You want a grand slam? There it is. Joshua 1:8. Quotes on success. Abraham Lincoln said, success is going from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm. George Patton said, success is how high you bounce when you hit bottom. Albert Einstein said, in the middle of difficulty lies opportunity. Let's look at Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Babe Ruth once said, every strike brings me closer to the next home run. And I also played his 60th home run video just before services. That day that he hit, it was his last time at bat for the season, and he hit a home run. But what they don't often tell you, though this video will tell you, he had failed in his first three at-bats that day. He hit the home run on the fourth time at bat. Mickey Mantle said, somebody once said, asked me if I ever went to the plate trying to hit a home run. I said, sure, every time. Let's end with three questions. We know We now know that God wants us to hit a grand slam. Does he ever show us how? Look at Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. And this is just one instruction that I could give you here. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. He could be saying the same thing to a baseball player. You know what baseball players do before they go to bat? Have you ever noticed that? And I'm not a big baseball fan, but I love the linkage here between Scripture and the game of baseball. It was said one time that that the angels gave mankind the ball, and he was able to come up with a lot of sports based on the ball that was given to them by the angels. And sometimes you wonder, okay, what is baseball all about? Maybe it's nothing more than a living metaphor for us in a sermon like this, scriptures like this. Before the batter goes into to bat, he's over in a waiting circle. And if you watch him, a lot of the time he has weights on the bat. He's swinging and he's practicing with the bat, and it has a weight on it. And what is this? What does Hebrews 12 say? Let us lay aside every weight. It's time to go up to bat. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What happens when we hit the ultimate grand slam? What happens when we hit the ultimate grand slam? Go clear to the back of the Bible to Revelation 3. Revelation 3, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome and am set down with my Father in his throne. Are we able to overcome all failures and reap success? Are we able to overcome all failures and reap success? Philippians 4. Philippians 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. It's time to step up to the plate.